seen him preaching, he was not supposed to live on our stairs, not stepping on the path, which is a furious spirit of sanctity. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you the pardon of my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. How do children celebrate the birthday of their mother, as we do tomorrow, birthday of the Blessed Virgin Mary, with some preparation, moved by our great love and affection for her? We give our mother's presence, which we think could make her happy. Simple gift of some words, perhaps sometimes one might bring her some flowers, some loving detail of affection. That's the custom. And tomorrow we celebrate this birthday of Mary. Today's the eve of the feast. And so we prepare now. This is first referred to by Saint Romanus in the 6th century, a saint poet in the Eastern tradition, and the tradition spread and was celebrated in Rome within a century, although the accounts are much older than the 6th century, but that's the feast, but the account goes back to the Proto-Evangelium of James. A second century writing, who tells us in the account of Our Lady's birth. Mary's parents, Joachim and Anne, longed for a child and prayed to the Lord, and in response, God sent an angel telling her she would conceive. And when Mary was born, the couple rejoiced, vowing to make their daughter a gift to the Lord. Is something that we can identify with. We have dedicated ourselves to our Lord. The birth of Mary was, as St. John Paul II wrote, the purest dawn of our redemption, as her life brought forth the coming of our Saviour. And so in tomorrow's Mass we will hear these words. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a young woman shall conceive and bear a son. In fact, the vision is a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So this passage from the Mass of the birthday of Our Lady refers to the birth of Jesus. Our Lord had two births, said the Church Fathers. One, he is eternal, born of the Father before all ages. It was outside time. There was never a time when the Son of God was not. And the other, in time, born in the time of the Virgin Mary, because it was through her that he wished to come to earth and be made man. Mary, of whom was born Jesus, as we read in the genealogy. And Isaiah, with his prophetic vision, about 7 centuries before, announced that it would happen that a virgin would conceive and give birth to a son. It was foreseen by God, it was arranged by him from across all eternity, across all the generations, who are to call his mother blessed. And so we celebrate the feast of her birthday, Mother of God. And by celebrating her birthday, we celebrate her life, as we do when we celebrate the birthday of our mother, or indeed anyone, we're celebrating their life. Now, at some places the custom is to celebrate the name day, but in fact in the church we celebrate the birthday of Our Lady, we celebrate of course the birthday of Jesus, Christmas, we celebrate the birthday of St. John. There's even a birthday mentioned in the Bible actually, but it's a bad example, it's the birthday of Herod. That's the day on which John the Baptist was executed. You may remember that birthday party gone wrong. Be that as it may, the normal thing in this country to celebrate the birthday and we congratulate Our Lady on her birthday. And tomorrow we can add happy birthday to our list of aspirations. Very nice, really. Happy birthday, Mary, Mother of God and my mother. And the church has plenty to say tomorrow in the liturgy and in the breviary. We read, on this day was born the most blessed Virgin Mary of the lineage of David. To her arose the salvation of the world for those who believe. And from her glorious life, light burst forth for all the universe. And this theme of light is carried through all the prayers. When the most holy Virgin was born, the whole world was made radiant, says one prayer. Another says, today we celebrate the birth of the Blessed Virgin Mary, whose splendid light has illumined the church. And this light is thematic because it is like an anticipation of the light of our Lord, the Sun of Justice. John the Baptist also has this theme running through his life, and every day in the morning prayer, in Lords, that is, that the religious and priests pray, he is called the Day Star, as is the Star of Morning, most commonly used as a name for the planet Venus, when it appears in the east before sunrise. But Mary is brighter than that. Mary shines forth like the dawn itself, even more. Born of a royal family, Mary shines forth like the noonday sun. This is another prayer. With mind and heart, we ask for the help of her prayers. Well, it's a gradation, in fact, because the sun is the Sun of Justice, is our Lord. But Mary is the dawn, the rising. And so the church tells us, with heart and mind, let us sing praise and glory to Christ on this holy feast day, the glorious Virgin Mother of God. Today we commemorate the birth of the Virgin Mary. God saw her beauty and visited her in her lowliness. Blessed and worthy of our praise is the Holy Virgin Mary, the Mother of God. We celebrate her birth that she might intercede for us before the Lord. Your birth, Mary, announces joy to the whole world. For of you was born the Son of Justice, Christ. He who has destroyed the ancient curse of mortality and has brought us his blessings, has annihilated death, has brought us eternal life. And so let's celebrate this birthday with great joy. The Nativity of Our Lady is the name of the feast. The Nativity of she who, as the angel announced to her, and as she accepted with her, be it done to me according to your word. The angel announced to her the conception of the Lord Redeemer, because God looks on her humility. And this brings us great joy, because in the birth of Our Lady we see the beginning of our redemption. Now, even before St. Romanus wrote in the 6th century about the feast day, there was, in the 5th century, a dedication of a church in honor of Our Lady in the place where she was born. And in the 6th century, there are those testimonies of the feast day celebration in Byzantium, the empire governed from Constantinople. And there it came into the Roman liturgy in the 7th century. And the historian Baronius informs us that it was already celebrated in the pontificate of Pope Sergius I, that is, who was elected Pope in the year 687. And from that time on, it was always a feast day. And it's one of the, as St. Ildefonso of Toledo of that century too says, only three births are celebrated in the church, that of Christ, that of his mother, and that of St. John the Baptist. It's still the case today. The feast leads us to ask about Mary's infancy. The Gospels say nothing about the life of Mary before the Annunciation of the angel. But there's a lot of early Christian writing, as there was bound to be, given that there were people who knew Our Lady, or knew people who knew her. And some details are given, some of which are doubtful, which is why the Church has not accepted these texts as inspired, but some of it is rings true. Let it be said at once, these are not the Gnostic books. These are books that are accepted as having some historical validity. But according to the tradition, the Virgin Mary, the daughter of Joachim and Anne, we've mentioned that, they're both saints and venerated. With respect to her education, the fathers of the Latin Church affirm that it was carried out by Saint Anne in their own house, which was nearby the Temple of Solomon. Whereas the Greek fathers hold to the idea that she was actually educated in the temple itself. Well, it has to be said that the first interpretation is more probable, because it would be very difficult for anyone to be educated in the temple, let alone live there. And indeed, Christian art has usually presented Mary as being educated at home. But what we do know is that, because of that mission that was so important, that she had to carry out because of her vocation, because of her role in the salvation of the human race, it was necessary that Mary have great gifts, not only with the supernatural graces and virtues, but also with all feminine grace and with beauty. This certainly is the tradition. And intelligence, and all the human qualities and virtues that would make her a free and appropriate instrument in God's hands. A woman gifted with every virtue. And one would think, therefore, that she must have been brought up in a family atmosphere suitable for the formation of that personality. Brought up very well. So that one day she would be able to persevere as a virgin, very much against the general agreements of society at that time. Precisely that sect of society that she was part of, devout Jews, it was considered unusual everywhere. And then the strength to follow step by step the dramatic events that accompanied the life of her son, which would have been very hard, seeing the gradual increase in hostility of the Jews, people saying very unpleasant things about him, and her heart must have been hurt when they called him a drunkard, for instance. Have you heard what he said? All this tittle-tattle. And then increasing threat. Right up to his death on the cross. And God, from the very moment that he thought about redeeming mankind, not that he was when he didn't, but we have to consider it this way. When he considered this,
he thought about the mother who was to be his mother in love. Our father writes about this, St. Jose Maria. Mary was prepared by God for the mission she had to carry out. She was the full of grace, the charitomene, as named by the Archangel Gabriel, conceived without sin, without any stain. The new Eve, the mother of the lineage of redeemed humanity, was not contaminated at any moment by original sin. God prepared her in this way. She was to be the conqueror of the serpents, could not be, even for an instant, defeated or deprived of grace. And the spiritual authors, even in the first centuries, compared Eve, mother of the whole human race, with the Virgin Mary, and underscored the enormous contrast between the two. This may have been helped by the consideration that the Ave, which the angel addressed to Mary, is with the verse of Eva, which is the name of Eve. But Eve brought us the curse because, seduced by Satan, she ceased to believe. That is, ceased to believe in the Word of God. And the curse was transmitted from Adam to all of us. Mary is blessed and happy because she had faith. With that faith, the self-giving to accept without conceit, without pride, the will of God. It's clear that she had no pride. Pride always shows itself in a comment somehow. You notice in the joy of the Annunciation, she might have let it slip out. So that explains it, she might have thought or said. I always wondered why I was better or different, and that would have been a giveaway. But no, her humility is radiant. And perhaps that's the reason why our Lord chose her, that she's the only person who would have reacted like that. It's interesting to think why someone is chosen. No, that the people are chosen freely. But God does think of the people whom he chooses and helps them, gives them the graces. And so Mary repaired the damage wrought of the first mother. She who offered redemption to lost mankind. And St. Augustine wrote, the first mother brought to the world the pain of humanity. The mother of our Lord brought the world salvation. Eve, the sinner. Mary, full of merits. Eve came killing. Mary presented herself giving life. I suppose better, Eve came giving death would be the translation. Mary presented herself giving life. Mary gave birth to the Saviour. But through that sin of Eve and Adam came the ruin of mankind. You know, historians like to look at history and think, what would have happened if such a thing had not happened, if such a person had not been born, if Churchill hadn't been born, or if Napoleon, or Julius Caesar, or any number of people. And this what-if question is called what-ifery, plain what-ifery. But it would be impossible to imagine what would have happened in the course of history if Adam and Eve had not disobeyed God. But the fact is that wishing in his supreme goodness and wisdom to effect the redemption of the world is Vatican II. When the fullness of time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, quoting St. Paul, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He, for us men and our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit from the Virgin Mary. From the Virgin Mary, and thanks to Mary, thanks to her yes, to the Annunciation, God shows himself and makes himself near to us. St. Paul wrote, he manifested himself in the flesh, which would be impossible without Mary's cooperation, without her, well, would be impossible, perhaps another way, but that her free and personal agreements, says St. John Chrysostom, on this point, without a source there is no water, without ears of wheat there is no bread, without a vine there is no wine, and without Mary there is no Jesus. And that's why she's the dawn that precedes the birth of the Son of Justice, Christ, our Redeemer. And if Christ is the centre of our faith, there's also at the centre another presence, that of Mary, his mother. And we could say that Christians are born to the life of grace because of her free and active cooperation in God's plan. Because Mary and Christ Jesus are so interlinked, that as St. Paul the Sixth wrote, Catholicism is not the religion of Mary, but neither is it the religion without Mary. If you want to be Christians, we have to be Marian, to have this devotion to her. Mary is the maternal guide and the hand that accompanies us towards full communion with her Son. How wonderful it is having a mother such as her, full of grace. She who had fitted in her soul and in her body the fullness of grace. May this feast of her birth move us to accompany her more with complete confidence. If Jesus is the overflowing love of God, the love that the Father has for mankind, Mary is the person who best reflects the face of Jesus, and she who most transmits his love and does it best. Those are the words of St. Jose Maria, who adds, once in an American country, a personage with a big beard commented, now they say that the thing of images of the Virgin Mary is old-fashioned, that now no one has devotion to Our Lady. I let him shoot away as he wished. And at the end I answered him, look, love for Our Lady will pass away, and love for the old Marian devotions will pass away when love for mothers has passed away. While children love their mothers, Christians will love the Mother of God, who is also your mother. He said to him, and it's that kind of love that trusting love and love for her which expresses itself in devotion, Marian devotions, is the way that will lead us to Jesus Christ, our Saviour. It's the sure key that will open the gates of heaven. And therefore we can pray, do not permit our hearts to cool down towards you. We can ask our Lord, don't allow us to cool down towards your mother. Don't permit any lessening of intensity in our correspondence to the graces that we receive from heaven. Don't allow that the ardent flame of charity should cool off in any of your children. And we can ask her if at some time you observe that some seed of lukewarmness should establish itself in our souls, help us to leave that situation of lukewarmness, that coldness, to correspond generously to the demand, the blessed demand of the Christian vocation. It said that devotion to Mary kills lukewarmness stone dead, but she's a great protector against lukewarmness if you have that devotion. Sure, it's possible to have lukewarmness in any situation, but she helps. It's a measure or indication that we are not lukewarm. If you have a loving devotion to the Mother of our Lord, the Mother of God, who is also our Mother. St. John Paul II said in a homily, From her we hear the prayer to her son at the wedding at Cana, they have no wine. But she also repeats the words, the church also repeats the words that she directed to the servants. And they are, so to speak, her testament. Do what he tells you. Mary tells them to do what Jesus tells them. And also speaks to us. And we tell our Lord that now we're going to your mother to ask her to intercede before you, as she did in Cana, in Galilee, so that this coming year we may never lack the new better wine that we read about in the Gospel, that is to say the good wine of charity, that we may be able to go to meet more people, to help them in their needs, the splendid and sweet wine of apostolic zeal, that we may have the strength and wisdom to explain the Gospel to our equals. And for our part, we will try to make ever present in our lives the best advice of all, which came from the lips of Our Lady: do whatever he tells you. And that through her we may manage to open our heart little by little to you, O Lord. What else can we take away from this, these days tomorrow? Well, note the logic of God, the birth of Our Lady, an event that passed unnoticed by mankind. Learn God's logic. The silence of God's working is a lesson for us. The value of ordinary things, of everyday matters, of love for the hidden sacrifice, of ordinary work carried out face to face with God. And the third idea we can carry away, that the birth of Our Lady is a day of joy, a day of thanksgiving, for we are children of God. And that is the root of our Christian joy, and also our children. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her into his home. John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, brought Mary into his home, into his life. Spiritual writers have seen these words of the Gospel as an invitation to all Christians to bring Mary into their lives. Mary most certainly wants us to invoke her, to approach her confidently, to appeal to her as our mother, asking her to show that you are our mother. And so on this special day, let's give some presents to Our Lady for her birthday tomorrow: a rosary, extra well done, perhaps an extra part of the rosary, Angelus unhurried, prayed with expression, internal expression, of course, the three Hail Marys, the Holy Purity, done with fervour. And at the end of today's meditation, we make once more the resolution to go to her to help us in everything that we do. And we ask her, show that you are our mother. The prayer that St. Jose Maria used a lot. It's a line from one of the great Marian hymns, the Ave Maria Stella, or Hail, Star of the Sea. The Latin of the line is Monstra te esse margem. You can think of the intention you most urgently want with all our hearts today and tomorrow, or at any time. But let's make it our prayer today and tomorrow. Let's pray for it with that trust. Now, as we finish, show that you are our mother. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my Guardian Angel, intercede for me.